next order.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in wherever you are on planet Earth. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I think that covers all of them. Yep, wherever you guys are at, happy to have you here. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. It is Friday the 13th, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know, so far, nothing really bad has happened to me specifically yet. So I don't know. Jury's still out on whether or not it's going to be a good day or a bad day. I plan on having a good day, so I usually try and do that. Every day. I have to admit, though, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pretty irritated right now. I'll preface all this by saying I feel fantastic. Everything is going wonderfully here with the show, with the guests, with the listeners. Everything is just awesome. But I'm a little pissed off this morning. I got to admit, went outside about 6 o'clock, like I usually do, with the coffee, hanging out outside, getting some fresh air, you know, enjoying seeing what's going on in the neighborhood. And perfectly crystal, beautiful blue skies. I mean, right off the bat, beautiful Missouri, crisp little snow on the ground. Just, you know, really, really nice. And then what do I see? Well, the planes. I see the planes. They're going up and they are spraying and it's just driving me crazy. I was talking to my neighbor the other day and it was after the weekend. We had a really beautiful weekend here and then it got a little chilly this week. And yesterday and the day before, heavy, heavy, heavy duty spraying going on. A lot of cloud cover, lots of planes up in the air. And this morning was really, really clear and plain. I mean, you could just watch these trails getting pumped out, staying in the air, spreading out, making clouds. There's probably 30 of them up in the air right now, and it has absolutely ruined the weather that we were going to have today. And it just makes me crazy. So I'm talking to my neighbor and complete La La Land. And she's like 60 years old and has lived in Missouri her whole life. It does not make any sense to me that somebody here, I mean, I'm going up on 40 here pretty soon. And I can remember growing up how beautifully deep and blue the skies were here, you know, and I lived near St. Louis. It wasn't like I was out in the middle of the country or something. We had beautiful, deep blue skies. And anybody in that age bracket, I feel like, should be able to say, yeah, this looks different now. Things are different now. And this woman was just saying, I there's no way. Those have to be, you know, just regular old contrails. That's what an airplane does. And I'm just thinking, man, you can watch it. You can watch it happen. It's making clouds right on top of us right now in real time. And people just are not aware. The reason I'm bringing this up, and I wanted to get that I'm irritated crap out of the way, and thank you guys for letting me rant for just a second there. Thank you guys in the chat room, too. I really appreciate seeing you guys in there. It's really awesome. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because Alana Freeland is going to be on Monday. She's written a book about geoengineering that is absolutely probably the best textbook style read that I've ever had in terms of this geoengineering stuff. It's full spectrum dominance, and it's not just talking about geoengineering, but it's talking about all of the other ancillary programs that are being used to control the weather, control warfare, things like that. And a lot of documents in the book, somebody who really, really can fundamentally tell us exactly what's going on in terms of what they're spraying over us right now. And it just astounds me that it's 2015 and then there's an issue like that that's so obvious. I mean, all you have to do is look up. And there are still people out there who do not believe that it is happening. Not only do they not believe that it's happening, but they're still in the cognitive dissonance mode of our government would never do that to us. Ugh, just makes me crazy. And anyway, here we are breathing all this garbage in yet another day. And who knows what it is. Is it, you know, nano pharmaceuticals things like that, you know, trying to control our brain. I don't know, but I'd certainly love to be able to figure it out. And regardless, we're under cloud cover. So there you go. I'm a little irritated about that. Anyway, getting past all the irritation from this morning, I have to tell you, next week's guest lineup is going to be amazing. You guys need to strap in because we are going to school next week, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, as I mentioned, Alana Freeland will be on the show on Monday. We'll be talking about all the geoengineering stuff, all the geospraying, the full-spectrum dominance plan of the military to completely control the weather, because I think they're there at this point, guys. I think we're there. So anyway, that's going to be absolutely fantastic on Monday. Stuart Rhodes is going to be on the program on Tuesday. Obviously, doesn't need much of an introduction. The founder of Oathkeepers, one of the smartest men I've been able to speak with ever in my life. Definitely looking forward to having him back on the program. I don't know what we'll be talking about because we'll probably be, who knows what's going to happen over the weekend between now and then. And I like to stay very up to date in terms of some of the issues that he covers. So we would just kind of stick that one as a pencil in for topic for that day. Obviously, we'll be talking about the Oathkeepers, but with current events the way they are going right now, probably going to have a little bit of a current event discussion with him. So great mind, definitely looking forward to getting some insight from him. Rick Rozoff is going to be on the show Wednesday, one of my all-time favorite people ever on the planet. You guys need to take comfort just knowing that Rick Rozoff is out working, doing the things that he is doing, drawing attention to the NATO organization and just how ridiculous the quagmire that's going on in the Ukraine right now is. Again, one of the brightest people that I know, very, very excited, very, very happy to have him back on the show. Deborah Tavares will be here Thursday. Don't even need to introduce her at all. I'm telling you, she's got some groundbreaking new stuff that she's going to be bringing to the program that isn't heard anyplace else. So if you want to know what is going on in this matrix of control, she is going to be a show you do not want to miss. And then Andrew Gause is going to be on Friday. So we'll get down to the bottom of this crazy economic situation with Greece, with Russia and China and BRICS banks and all this stuff that's going on, the plan B at the IMF. Definitely looking forward to picking his brain on Friday. So again, all week next week. It's going to be a huge week, and you just have to strap in for this one, guys, and definitely put it down on the calendar not to miss these shows and to make sure that you remember to get some of this information from the archives, too, and pass it around, because I'm telling you right now, Rick Rozoff and Deborah Tavares are going to be touching on things that you're not going to hear anyplace else, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we're trying to do here at Red Pill Reports, you know, bring you guys the best information that we possibly can day after day. At least Monday through Friday, because I need a break too, ladies and gentlemen. I got to take a day off once in a while, and Saturdays seem like a good day for that. Anyway, lots of news to cover today. We're going to get into that. Please go to redpillreports.com and check out the show section. You'll be able to see all the articles that we're going to cover. There's a ton of information in the news going on right now, and I don't know where it all came from, but we're going to try and get to it. Before we do that, I got to tell you, though, at 11 o'clock, we're going to have a pair of guests on today, a double guest day. That's right, double guest Friday. And this is a pair of authors, and they have written a really, really interesting book, you guys. It's about transhumanism and the coming singularity. And I feel like, well, I know you guys all know out there that I'm a nerd at heart. I mean, I wear that badge with proud. I'm probably the weird guy in my social group that convinces people to, root their phones. I'm probably the only guy that you know that's running Linux on my old cell phone. Just putting that out there. Nerd, happy to wear the badge. And so this inevitable slide that we are on towards a merger with the machines, it's almost an unfightable, slippery slope that we're on right now. I mean, it is inevitable at this point, but these guys have really put their brains to the grindstone, so to speak, and they have projected out about 30 years in terms of where we're at with some of this technology now and where we're going to go. And it's a little more optimistic than I think a lot of people might think. This transhumanism issue obviously is frightening when you think about the people who are running the show right now. And some of the capabilities, but we still have to explore the capabilities because until we have the technology, we can't put it to good or evil use. It's just something, you know, it's like the gun on the table. It doesn't do anything until you put a motive behind it. But the technology development is happening, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Moore's Law, I love that law that they named it after me. That was really nice of them. But it does exist in all aspects of technology right now. I mean, look at the little dog Spot that Google just put out with Boston Dynamics the other day. You know, it's about a quarter of the size of the big dog robot that they've got. So all of these arenas that we're talking about, the nutraceuticals, the nanotechnology, the artificial intelligence, the robotics, all of these things are coming to a culmination. It's a very exciting time to be alive right now. That's a funny comment in the chat room. Thank you guys for being in the chat room, by the way. Love the feedback. It's keeps the show light, and it's really nice to see new people showing up in there all the time, because then you guys can kind of talk amongst yourselves and make new friends. It's a good way to do it. Anyway, great, fantastic show today. We got a lot of news to cover, but do stick around at 11 o'clock for this conversation about this book, Transcendence, because I think there's a lot of things that are coming down the pike in terms of technology that are going to obviously give us an opportunity to change the world for the better if we take advantage of it in the right way. So a lot of ethical concerns, a lot of political concerns, a lot of unusual technological advances going on. Thank you to DARPA for that. So anyway, we'll talk about all that. Are You Serious? And Jay Cornell will be joining us at 11 o'clock. So do stick around for that. Again, next week is going to be ginormous. Strap in. Get it written down in your calendars that you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you, that is going to be a heck of a lineup for the week next week. And again, if you want to go to redpillreports.com, we would highly, highly appreciate it. All you guys who are sharing the website with your friends and downloading the archives from there, from the shows, and spreading those around too. I know a lot of the guests really appreciate that, because again, we're trying to get as much of the word out on as many issues as we possibly can. So, all of us have to do our part. I'm doing my best to be here for you guys every day. And if you guys are out there sharing the show, well, you're doing your part too. So we're, you know, we're chipping away at them, ladies and gentlemen, and we're all in this together. Let's go ahead and jump over into some international news right now. I wanted to talk about this incident that took place in Spain, late the night before last, about 60,000 residents in northeastern Spain were told to stay indoors after an explosion at a chemical warehouse sent a very dense and very orange cloud into the sky that hovered over the municipalities for hours. And normally I wouldn't really bring a story like this up, because although the initial reports had described this big cloud as being toxic, Catalonia's interior minister later said that essentially the chemicals were just irritants and it might cause some itchy eyes, runny noses. So nobody was harmed in this. It's not really wasn't a super big deal. There were some firefighters that responded to the scene that had to have some hospitalization, a little bit injured just from breathing junk. But the real reason I wanted to show this article or put it in there, and I really recommend you guys go to redpillreports.com and check this out, this cloud is incredible. I've never seen a ginormous orange cloud in the sky like this hovering over a community. I mean, it is about as an apocalyptic picture, and I don't think there's any Instagram filtering going on with this picture. I mean, we're talking about just this ginormous orange cloud. It would be the scariest thing ever if you looked out your window and saw this thing. So anyway, it does. It looks like sulfur, somebody in the chat room said, and I totally agree, but I've never seen anything like that. And if I wake up and look outside, I'll probably long for the days of just standard geoengineering spraying operations, I suppose. Moving over to France right now, to just a quick political update here. The Union of French Muslim Democrats has now said that it hopes to field candidates in 8 cities in the French elections next month, which is a fairly modest objective for a very young political party, although they do have some fairly big ambitions. The UDMF this week filed applications to run 2 candidates in the Parisian suburb and Bobigny as part of local elections in March. Right now, the political group only has about 200 people, but they're hoping, I'm sorry, they only have about 900 people right now. Morning, Eric! They only have about 900 people right now, and they're hoping to swell their numbers to about 900, and they also hope to be participating in about 2,000 separate election races in the country going into the future. So, you know, the French country does have a very substantial Muslim population. So, is it a bad thing that they're starting to get together and form a political party? A lot of people might be afraid. They're trying to instill Sharia law and things like that, but they said that they're not anything about that. They just want to give the Muslim people there a little bit more of a voice than they have right now. So that's what's happening in France. We'll see how negative the response is from the French country people there. Okay, moving on to the Ukraine right now. Just as a reminder, this is kind of a reminder story, but the fighting's still happening in Ukraine. We're hoping for a ceasefire to take effect on the 15th. That was one of the revelations that came out of the Minsk the discussions that happened, obviously, between Merkel and Holland and Putin and Poroshenko the other day. It was like a 15-hour marathon phone conversation. But a report that came out just before the completion of that conversation did indicate again that United States is planning on sending more troops and people to the NATO region there. So CNN is reporting right now that the United States Air Force is sending its tank busters back, which are the A-10 Thunderbolts. I think if I'd been in the Air Force, that's what I would have wanted to be a pilot of. Those are pretty neat. But anyway, the European Command said this week that 12 of the A-10s are going back to an airbase there in Germany as part of the Operation Atlantic Resolve, which was formed after Russia's intervention in Ukraine over the last year. So again, the Air Force now increasing rotational presence in Europe to reassure the allies there and the partner nations that our commitment to European security is a priority. So again, we are hedging our bets towards war right now, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what you need to understand. And here's another good indicator of that was Kerry was in the news. John Kerry, man, he looks like a bloodhound, doesn't he? He talks like the way I think a bloodhound should talk. Anyway, says the U.S. could lift Russian sanctions if the Minsk agreements are completely and fully implemented, is what he's saying. So what does that mean? He's saying, again, we could roll back sanctions against Russia if the Minsk Accord is followed here. So that includes, according to Kerry, a full ceasefire, the withdrawal of all foreign troops and equipment from Ukraine, a full restoration of Ukrainian control of the international border, and a release of all the hostages. So you can see right there, just with those qualifications, that this is not ever going to happen. First of all, the withdrawal of all of the foreign troops and the restoration of Ukrainian control of the international border, those are two, remember, and Rick Rozoff will back me up on this, I think I said Wednesday he'd be on the show, those are two of the criteria necessary to gain entry into NATO. So right now, there's kind of a soft NATO entry, acceptance of Ukraine in NATO, but of course they haven't met the official criteria. And this is my concern, is that, you know, if Putin agrees to the ceasefire, we're really putting a lot of onus on Putin right now. Withdrawing of all foreign troops, they're never going to be able to substantiate that we or Russia had foreign troops there anyway. And we're obviously sending more weapons and equipment to Ukraine. So how are we going to then qualify them as having all the equipment from the Ukraine moved or removed? And then you've got this whole restoration of the Ukrainian control of the international border. They're obviously going to be including Crimea in that. There's no way on God's green earth that Putin is going to give up his only military base outside of Russia. It's not going to happen. He's got way too much infrastructure. They put way too much money into that. It's just not going to happen. So you can see already that this whole rhetoric coming from Kerry and rhetoric coming from Obama as if they're conceding to Merkel and Francois and Putin is all crap. It's just posturing. All they're doing is hedging for we're using legal language here to make sure that they cannot qualify for the rollback of these sanctions. And I think that, again, it just shows very clearly that, you know, we've got a very vested interest in the Ukraine. And I think that having Biden's son there on the board of directors of the largest natural gas company, I mean, these are not coincidences. These are things that happen on purpose. So again, hedging our bets towards war, I think that we'll probably still see more. Okay, hang on a second. We got some breaking news coming in right now saying that the Ukraine ultra-nationalist leaders have rejected the Minsk peace deal. This is just now breaking right now, just updated. So bear with me here, guys. This is a couple days in a row. I've tried to keep you guys in the loop. But again, the Ukraine's right sector leader, Dmitry Yarosh, said his radical movement rejects the peace deal that was struck in Minsk over the weekend here, the early part of this week, and that their paramilitary units in eastern Ukraine will continue, quote unquote, active fighting according to their own plans. So boom, there you go. Not going to have a ceasefire on the 15th, apparently, according to at least the Ukraine's right sector leader now. So claiming that any agreement with the Eastern Militia, whom he calls terrorists, has no legal force. So again, you can see pretty clearly that the division line has been drawn in the Ukraine. The people on the eastern side of the country are not going to stand down, and the western side of the country is going to have no choice but to use foreign troops, most likely American and NATO coalition to try and clear these quote-unquote rebels out of the western side of the eastern side of the country there, because again, we saw 6% of people voluntarily showing up for the draft that they're trying to initiate there in on the western side of the country, Kiev. It's just it's not going to happen. This situation is not going to get any better. I think we're going to see this obviously moving more and more towards some sort of conflict there. You know, the question, I guess, is whether or not the Western media is going to be able to keep our attention on something else while that is going on. Here's an interesting quote from Obama that came out from Russia Today the other day. He said that the reality of American leadership at times entails, quote unquote, twisting the arms of states that don't do what we need them to do, and that the U.S. relied on its military strength and other leverage to achieve its goals. So there you go. Just wanting to point out again, Barack Obama coming out and admitting that sometimes it's necessary to twist the arms of states that don't do exactly what we would like them to do. And it's important to remember also that the government is not really a government. They are a for-profit corporation. So these things that they would like other states to do are for political gain, power gain, and monetary gain, and resource gain. So it really doesn't have anything to do with us. And while they're out doing all of these things that they would like to do, they're creating way more problems for us in terms of blowback. You know, it's just, it's this one big self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. So, okay, let's move over into some news about Israel and Gaza right now. An UN official is calling now for lifting Israel's Gaza Strip occupation. He says the siege in the Gaza Strip has taken a very significant toll on the Strip's ability to provide medical and humanitarian services. This is James Rowley, and he is, as I said, part of the UN there. And he also called for reconstruction of areas damaged during Israel's summer war on the Palestinian coastal enclave. He says the Israeli siege on Gaza must be lifted to allow the delivery of proper medical care and to end patients' suffering. He also asked countries which had helped or pledged financial aid for the reconstruction efforts in the coastal sliver to fulfill their promises. And I kind of agree with that. The Gaza Strip's obviously been under crippling Israeli siege since 2007, and the blockade, which has cut off the territory from the outside world, has led to an economic and humanitarian crisis in the densely populated enclave. And if you have any questions about that, again, I cannot recommend highly enough Anna Balzer's presentation. You can get it on DVD. There's a lot of places you can see it in grainy copies on YouTube, but I think it's a Jewish woman in Palestine talking about a woman who lives in the United States who could absolutely get paid money, cash money, to move to Israel right now. She could even move to Palestine and build a house and live in it and get paid to live there. But she chose not to. She chose to go there and take pictures of the actual occupation, what it would actually be like to be on the ground there as a Palestinian. And it is staggering, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how else to put it. And if you're on the fence about the Israel-Palestine thing, I just want you to try and consider both sides of the coin here. I understand that there's a lot of religious implications to Israel and the formation of their state, and the Jewish people have had a tough go of things. I totally understand that, and I'm not trying to knock it. But there's a difference between Judaism and Zionism, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think that's a debatable thing in 2015 anymore. So again, its occupation in the Gaza Strip needs to stop. That's the bottom line here. And again, I'm very happy to see the UN starting to do something about it. Remember when the shooting happened in Paris and Fox News lost their mind and was talking about how there were Muslim no-go zones in France? They even went to the extent of putting up a graphic showing several places in Paris where allegedly cops could not go because there was such a Muslim enclaves. So anyway, like for example, Sean Hannity, who's one of the most he's one of the first people to popularize this urban myth. But he said that in Paris they've got no-go zones. If you're a non-Muslim, you're not allowed, not police, not even the fire department if there's a fire. And he also said that Sharia courts have been allowed to be established and prayer rugs in just about every hotel. Turns out that him, a lot like Brian Williams there, not necessarily truthful. So not truthful to the extent now that Parisian lawmakers have given the city's mayor, Anne Hidalgo, the green light to go ahead and sue Fox News for falsely reporting on these Islamic neighborhoods in the French capital. Again, she is saying that that's pretty insulting and clearly not true, and has done a lot to damage the credibility of the Parisian police force and things like that. So hopefully, maybe she's going to win this lawsuit. There's a mayor of Paris now suing U.S. News, Fox News, for essentially lying. Well, good deal. Good deal there. Let's see here. What else is going on? Oh, Norwegians. Norwegians from Norway. That's where Norwegians come from. Have apparently taken command of ISIS. What? Oh, yeah. Some Islamist fighters from Norway are believed to have now taken leading positions within the Islamic State, according to Norwegian intelligence service staff. I don't even know what to say about that. So, yeah, apparently Norwegian Muslims flown the coup there in Norway, joined ISIS, and now because they are, I don't know, maybe it's not because they're Norwegian, but because they're evidently very qualified, they're been put into mid-level and leadership positions in ISIS, according to Norwegian intelligence service chief there. Anyway, I don't know about this whole ISIS thing. What do you guys think? I'm starting to think that somebody said the other day that they thought it was 20 guys and a film crew. And I think that might be pretty accurate the more I look into it. And I'll tell you, I think it has a lot to do with, the United States' and Israel's stated goals of destabilizing Iraq and continue to reign there. So, I'm hoping that, this new coalition with, Saudi Arabia and the UAE and, Jordan, and Iraq as well, plus now with some major support internationally coming to the, Kurds in the region. Hopefully we'll get this stupid ISIS thing out of the way and the people in Iraq can just get back to their lives, because that's really what everybody wants. And speaking of Iraq, just as a note here, the International Security Council has emphasized the necessity of blocking all funding sources which finance the terrorist organizations of what is called the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant and Nasra Front. So the International Security Council there in Iraq, again, working to start trying to instill some blocking measures to keep funding away from some of these terrorist organizations operating within their borders, which is fantastic news, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic news. We've got to go to a 3-minute break in just a second. I probably should have printed out some of these headlines so I could just roll over them. But I got to tell you, there's some crazy national news going on. There's I hate these police shooting stories, but a police officer shot a kid on a balcony last night. You're not going to believe how ridiculous this story is. We're going to have to talk about that. The FBI indicating now that we'd like to have a national conversation about racism and prejudice. Boy, thanks for picking up that memo, buddy. Jeez Louise, welcome to the party. Okay, anyway, we got to go to this 3-minute break. When we come back, a lot of science and tech stuff, a lot of health news today as well, and some international or some national stuff and economic stuff. Got lots to cover. I'll do what I can to get you through it all, guys. With 3-minute break, we'll be right back. This is, of course, your daily dose of deprogramming. My name's JD. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable, Saturdays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Thank you guys in the chat room as well. I'm starting to see some familiar faces in there, and I just love it, love it, love it, love the feedback. Please put on your nerd hats right now, because we're going to be talking about some pretty heavy-duty science stuff in about 25 minutes here with the authors Are You Serious and Jay Cornell. They're going to be joining us to talk about their new book, Transcendence, which is the Disinformation Encyclopedia of Transhumanism and the Coming Singularity. So we're going to be talking about, again, some pretty heavy-duty stuff in terms of where we're going on this technological road and how quickly we're going to get there, ladies and gentlemen. So if you guys have questions regarding the transhumanism thing or the singularity or any of this technology that we're going to be talking about, please get into the chat room, put your nerd tinfoil hats on, and help me come up with some great questions. I'm counting on you guys today, because I'm feeling pretty lazy today, just letting you know, and I'm going to be tired trying to get through all this news. Let's talk about some of the news that's going on. First and foremost, I got to talk about this story that happened in Baltimore, Maryland last night. Monday night this happened, but an officer shot a 14-year-old boy. This officer was moonlighting as an apartment complex security guard, right? So he's working at night after his police shift as a apartment complex security guard. And so these two security guards were walking off duty at the Woodridge apartment complex, who were investigating people, reports of people inside apartments that were under construction. So that's what they were investigating. And the officer who shot the teen told police that he saw somebody come out on a balcony. He said he was pointing the weapon at the balcony, and it simply went off. So the officer, again, pointing the direction directly at the balcony, says his weapon discharged accidentally. And that's what the department is now saying. So either the officer is lying about what actually happened, or the guy has never been trained about one of the most important rules in gun safety is that you don't put your trigger finger on the trigger until your sights are on a target that you intend to actually shoot, right? That's the whole goal with training in terms of gun safety. Didn't do it. So why was this guy pointing a weapon at somebody that he couldn't see very well on a balcony, and then he says it just happened to go off? Accidentally discharged. I don't like that terminology, because again, it takes away accountability from the officer. The most relevant term, I think, would be negligent discharge at the bare minimum, because again, the injuries sustained to this boy were negligently inflicted upon him by a police officer. And had a common citizen done the same thing, they'd be in a jail cell right now. But again, I want to follow it up. The boy's injuries, not life-threatening, so he's hopefully going to be making a full recovery. But the officer put on paid leave, just like they do it, so he gets a paid vacation there. But this seems to be like the kind of guy you wouldn't want either working as a law enforcement officer or working as a security guard. If this guy just accidentally has his weapon discharged and accidentally happens to shoot some 14-year-old boy who is just probably doing nothing, just absolutely crazy. Anyway, that's what's going on there. Let's move on here as quickly as we can. I'm going to skip that story because it's boring. There's a big story coming out about the HSBC account, Swiss bank accounts at HSBC. It's been breaking over the economic news for a while now, but I wanted to just touch on this here really quickly because this, there's been a network of very secretive banks and offshore tax havens discovered, in the release of all of these undisclosed or unclassified documents from HSBC. And these tax havens and secretive bank accounts apparently have been used to funnel about $182 million in bribes to Nigerian officials in exchange for $6 billion in engineering construction work for an international consortium of companies that included then Halliburton subsidiaries. So again, here's what we're seeing now as more fallout from this HSBC disclosure is coming out. A big indication here now that there were a lot of money that was funneled through that institution to Nigerian officials as bribes for Halliburton subsidies. Are we surprised by that, or subsidiaries? Are we surprised by that? No, not at all. But just pointing that out, that the fallout from this huge leak from HSBC is going to be long going. And there was a story the other day, too, about some of these account holders belonging to some pretty substantial Clinton supporters back when Bill was running for president. So again, tax evasion, bribery, things like that, which is pretty much par for the course for the gang banksters. So not really too surprising. But again, Halliburton now kind of getting thrown under the bus because of that release. Just wanting to point that out because I find that to be pretty important. The United States has now dropped to 49th place in the World Press Freedom Rankings. This is the worst since President Barack Obama became president. So every year, Reporters Without Borders issues a worldwide ranking of nations based on the extent to which they protect or abridge press freedoms. And the group's 2015 rankings was released yesterday morning, and the United States, as I said, is way down at middle of the list there at 49. It's the lowest ranking ever during Obama's presidency and the second lowest ranking for the United States since the rankings began back in 2002. And the countries immediately ahead of us are Malta, Niger, El Salvador, Chile, and Botswana. So maybe more fresh freedoms in some of those other places, apparently. So, again, they're citing things like independent journalists being shot with rubber bullets in Ferguson, stuff like that, kind of dropped us in ranking this year. So pretty understandable, I suppose. FBI Director James Comey just yesterday called for a national conversation about race in the United States that extends well beyond law enforcement. And I think we touched on this a little bit when we were talking to Doreen Hannes the other day, but there is an underlying current of prejudice in our country. Everybody's affected by it, and people who don't want to admit it, well, you know, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but all of us are affected by this stuff. And I think that it's important now that especially on a national level, we have a conversation about racism and prejudice, because those are the frameworks we have to be looking through in order to really figure out what the problem is. Why is there violence in our community? Well, it's because there's a current of prejudice that exists in everybody. And until we address it, you can't fix a problem until you address it. That's the bottom line. So I commend James Comey coming out now saying that we need to have a national conversation about racism. It does need to include law enforcement. He's not letting law enforcement off the hook with this one at all. But again, it does, he does recognize that it needs to go well beyond just law enforcement. So, but one of the things he wants to do is force regional police departments to mandatorily turn in shooting information, you know, anytime that there's a shooting or a death at the hands of law enforcement. Right now, it's not mandatory that they turn that information into the FBI. So there's really not a lot of investigation that can go on after the fact. I think when we had Dale Brown on the other day, he's the head of the Detroit Threat Management Center. He said of the 18,000 municipal law enforcement agencies in our country, less than 1,000 of them actually turn in information about shootings every year to the FBI. So one of the things that Jay Correll wants to do is make that a mandatory thing. So I kind of agree with that. Here's a head twister for you. This came across the wire last night, and I about fell out of my chair when I read it, because it's just absolutely, this is crazy. So a CNN anchor, you guys might have heard of him before. His name is Chris Cuomo, right? Chris Cuomo was having a fairly heated discussion about gay marriage the other day. And while he was having this heated discussion about gay marriage, he opined that the unalienable rights endowed to all Americans do not come from God. Again, one of the most popular anchors on CNN, Chris Cuomo, saying again that your unalienable rights endowed to all Americans do not come from God. He was debating the Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore on the constitutionality of same-sex marriage, and near the end of this back and forth, and after Moore had argued that the rights cannot be handed down by men, Cuomo blurted out the following, and listen to this, "Our rights do not come from God, Your Honor, and you know that. They come from man. That's your faith, that's my faith, but that's not our country. Our laws come from collective agreement and compromise." Wow. Oh, man. That guy needs to be fired immediately. He should not be allowed to express opinions in public at this point, because I mean, if you can't even pass elementary civics, if you don't even understand what our country was founded on, it's just, okay, here, I'm going to help Chris Cuomo out here just a little bit. We'll go ahead and just read real quick the opening sentence of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Okay. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." Self-evident means obvious, just for Mr. Cuomo, if you're having trouble following along, "that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." That's what our country is about, ladies and gentlemen, and maybe Chris Cuomo needs to go back and take an elementary civics class, but it might just be more convenient for Chris Cuomo and his political philosophy that a few select people are actually empowered to grant rights to the masses. But that's certainly, again, not part of our country's foundation. So maybe CNN can help their anchors learn American history on the network's new game show that's coming out. They have a new American history game show there on CNN. But again, Chris Cuomo needs some tutoring here, ladies and gentlemen, because he's advocating collective rights on television. That's what he's doing. He's talking as if every American's right can simply be overturned at a whim simply because times change. I could actually hear him saying, sure, freedom of speech was great in 1789, but we've evolved beyond that as a collective society. Obviously, the most dangerous, slippery slope ever to be presented on CNN, ladies and gentlemen. And there you go. That's now you can take that and use that framework, and you try and listen to anything Chris Cuomo is trying to tell you. He's telling you right now that he believes that there is an elite group of people that give you your rights, and that is not the case, because that would take away pretty much all the fundamental maxims of law that we all depend on to protect our minority rights under God, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not a religious thing. It's just, you can either understand that you have the right to protect yourself. And let's just look, I'll give you the perfect example. Rape. Rape is rape is rape. I don't care what language it is in. It is unlawful in every single language around the world, because rape violates somebody's inherent right to protection in themselves. Okay? That is the minority rights that we're talking about when we say that God gave you minority rights. God gave you the right to be protected in yourself, to be safe from things like rape, okay? Without morals, without a moral argument, from what foundation are you going to build an argument to tell somebody to stop raping your sister? Without morals, there can be no argument. That's the bottom line. That's why civics is so important, and that's why understanding that your rights come from God, and that we should really be working to promote liberty worldwide, not democracy worldwide. Mob rule is not something that's worked well here for our country. I don't necessarily think that bombing other people just to instill democracy is necessarily what we should be doing. Again, liberty, all men created equal, is not just American. We just happen to codify it so that we could establish a government around protecting those ideals. That's the whole concept here. That's why law enforcement is so important when they take an oath. That's why it's so important that they understand their oath. That's why a dog cannot become a police officer. Canine dogs are not cops. That's because they don't speak English and they haven't taken an oath to the Constitution. They don't understand what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Anyway, I will digress away from that. But again, Chris Cuomo just about made me lose my mind yesterday. And it's so frightening to me that there are people that watch that program that might actually agree with that. That is mind-boggling that in 2015, we're so confused about what is actually going on in the world. Man, just, oof. We're in a pickle, ladies and gentlemen, in a pickle. And another police shooting, have to talk about this because it did happen in Washington State. A lot of you guys know my heart lives in Washington, but the Pasco Police Department in Washington State, now under investigation after cops there shot and killed a man this week who reportedly had been throwing rocks at the officers. And again, this guy, apparently 35-year-old Antonio Montes, not necessarily a great dude. Okay, he was actually released from jail earlier in the day. He's had a lot of run-ins with law enforcement officers, but it's also known throughout the community that the guy's not completely mentally stable, right? Yeah, there's a chat room talking about shooting a police dog and getting arrested for shooting a law enforcement officer. And that's exactly the case here, guys. And that's what will happen if you shoot a police dog. But again, it's important to understand they're not a cop. They don't have more rights than you or your dog. And they are a tool that's being used to search unlawfully. If they bring a dog over to your car and they start searching your car for drugs, that's an unlawful search. They need a warrant to use a tool. The dog is a tool. Bottom line. I would sue the crap out of everybody and put liens on their bonds. I'm so sick of dealing with all this junk, guys. I don't even know how to deal with it anymore. I just don't believe, do I believe in the divine right of kings? Lex, are you absolutely serious right now? No, I do not believe in the divine right of kings. No, I think that, you would have to believe in it a little bit, but, God gave us sovereignty, dominion and control. That's kind of what the whole slant on the Bible is there. So no, I don't believe that God specifically picked one person to make them sovereign because they pulled a stone or a sword out of a stone someplace. I think that's stupid. I think that what happened was that they realized what sovereignty actually meant and they tried to hoard it. And that's what they have tried to do for a very, very long time. But again, in America, we were all made sovereign. We were all made kings. That's part of your birthright and part of the reason that we're in a constitutional republic. And it's funny always how many people want to jump up and down and say, how dare you try and give me freedom? How dare you try and point out my birthright? I'd much rather be locked into the status quo. And people become, you know, self-appointed guardians for the status quo. But anyway, I don't believe in the divine right of kings. No, I think that the idea of a monarchy is pretty stupid. And I think that the best evidence of that is that Monty Python script where the guy's, you know, digging out in the dirt. And oh man, just super funny. If you guys haven't seen it, I think it's Life of Brian, pretty good. Anyway, police shot and killed this guy in Pasco, 13 shots, 3 different officers. He had turned around, had his hands up in front of him, did not look like he was holding rocks in the video. Probably would have obviously been a better way to handle this situation rather than just gunning this guy down in the street in front of women and children and people just traveling around. It looked as if there is a video of it, and you can see what happened because somebody had their phone out. But the guy looks like he's just trying to walk away, and then he kind of starts running as the police officers start chasing him, and he turns around, and he kind of puts his hands out towards them, but it doesn't look like he's reaching for a gun. I don't really know. But anyway, they shot him dead. So just another tragic end to a situation that could have gone much differently and is not going to go that way now. So can't get help for him because he's dead. It's just unbelievable. Okay, moving on. Economy stuff. Let's talk about what's going on. The Dow is up about 43 points. We are above 18,000 again, so happy days are here again. The S&P up about another 6 points today, 2090, so 2090 is sitting where the S&P is at right now. Let's look at some commodities. Gold coming up just a touch, not quite to the 1230 mark. We're at 1228 and 50. Silver sitting at 1733. That will get you an ounce of silver. Checking out the Forex here real quick. The euro gaining a little bit against the dollar. We're up about 114 right now. And Bitcoin taking a pretty good jump today. $15 up at 233.50. So what in the heck is going on with Bitcoin? That's a good question. I do not know. Let's talk about some indicators from the business world. Rat meow. Business inventories grew at a mere 0.1% in December. This is missing expectations for the 7th of the last 8 months, essentially. This is the slowest inventory growth since May of 2013. And perhaps more worrisome is the drop in sales, which is down another 1.1% this month, which slammed the inventory to sales ratio to its highest since July of 2009, which was just about the time of the Lehman crash. So just pointing that out right now, not looking super good. And again, retail numbers way down right now following last month's narrative crushing drop in retail sales. Despite that low interest rate and despite those low gas price, January was more of the same, as hopeful expectations for a modest rebound were denied, falling 0.8%. against a 0.9% back in December. This is missing expectations of the 0.-4%. This is the worst back-to-back drop in retail sales again since Lehman. This is October of 2009. Retail sales have declined in 6 of 13 categories. Clearly, it's been a very cold winter, with both December and January now being pretty disappointing in terms of retail sales. So the retail apocalypse is continuing. So there you go. And also I want to talk quickly about the dry bulk market. This is a market that I don't touch on too much, but the dry bulk market right now has reached historical lows this week, with the Baltic Dry Index now trading at levels below operating expense levels for more ship owners. That means it costs ship owners now more to ship things by boat than the money that they're going to make from selling those products. So in fact, actually the FFA market not showing any positive signs for a possible recovery in the near future. Pessimism right now is still the name of the game in the dry bulk market, and a lot of dry bulk owners are actually starting to scrap their vessels right now so that they can try and stay afloat during this anemic global growth season that we seem to be in right now. So we have the shutdown of the ports on the West Coast over the weekend. We've also got, a lot of people may not know this, but China is going into a holiday season right now, so there's not going to be anything coming out of China for at least a week. So the contagion potentially at the ports may start getting a little cleared up if they get back online, but who knows what's going to happen. Let's see here. London Bullion Makers Association, they announced the week that the amount of gold transferred between the accounts of the LBMA rose from December to January, but the amount of silver that exchange hands fell. So more people buying gold, and the volume of the gold up 4.6% month to month to 20 million ounces, again up 19.4 million ounces in December. So again, even though the price on gold right now doesn't look like it's moving around too much, and even with the highs that we had a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week and a half ago or so, still a lot of movement in the gold market. And it also stemming a lot from Greece right now. British, a lot of people, I may not have covered this story, but the British Mint recently came back into business after being basically boarded up for 60 years in terms of their production of gold and silver. And so the mint there in Britain is starting to produce gold coins again. And apparently a lot of people in Greece are buying gold right now. Of course, remember the Greek economy pretty much on the rocks right now, and nobody really knows what direction that's going to go. We've got this whole Syriza party coming up and the Popular Party anti-austerity thing happening. So we don't really know which way the Greece economy is going to go. But you don't have to be a crazy person to say maybe if you're in Greece, you know, it might be worth trying to get your hands on some physical gold. And that's apparently what the mint there in Britain is showing now. A lot of people from Greece purchasing from them in a number that they haven't seen before. So there you go there. IMF also has now announced this news actually broke before the leaders of Russia, Ukraine, France, and Germany emerged from their big talks the other day. But the IMF during these talks did announce a $17.5 billion bailout deal for the Ukraine. So, again, who knows if that is still in play right now after the Minsk Accord. I imagine that's going to have a lot to do with whether or not the people in Ukraine meet the criteria that the IMF is undoubtedly going to be laying upon them. IMF is not in the philanthropy business. Usually what they do is they give you loans and then they charge you interest. And if you can't pay your interest, well, then they take your property. Just like any other bank, really, specifically. But so anyway, the IMF granting Ukraine a pretty sizable bailout there. I want to talk a little bit, too, about Sweden. They put their first negative interest rate in Sweden yesterday. They're buying bonds to counter deflation. So, again, this whole negative interest rate program, I mean, this is really a race to a zero-sum game, in my opinion. But so we're seeing it across the board. We'll probably see other EU countries start doing this soon. But a 0.1 negative interest rate now there on the national bank accounts there in Sweden. And they are also keeping the option open to lower it even more in the future should the need arise. So let's jump on here. I might skip over. I'm going to skip over the tech stuff since we're going to have a pretty heavy duty tech conversation in a minute, and wanted to talk to you guys about a little bit of health news. This is really cool. I love this. Melissa Melton of the Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton TruthStream Media fame, she has now put up a new website, and this might be a website that you guys want to go check out. It's called nutritionalanarchy.com, and it was just launched this week. Again, a new website focusing on exposing the poisons in the food supply and teaching people how to avoid them. I love Melissa Melton. Everybody knows that. I love Aaron Dykes. These guys are probably two of the most insightful people I know and some of the best independent researchers out there. But I know that Melissa specifically has been really focused on food safety lately and also health. So I'm really excited to be announcing, you know, the release of her new website. I'm hoping that it's going to be very successful. And I definitely want you guys to go check it out. Again, the name is Nutritional Anarchy. And the point of this whole thing, again, is to expose poisons in the food supply and also to teach people how to use them. So there's, again, five distinct categories on the site: eat, grow, learn, heal, and avoid. And as each of the name indicates, the journey from poison to provision includes learning what to eat, how to grow it, or at least how to grow as much as possible, how to use food as a nutritional healer, and of course, how to avoid things that are harmful. So again, absolutely love Melissa Melton's and Aaron Dykes' original page over at True Stream Media. Of course, they have a show on True Frequency Radio as well, so you guys should go and support them when their shows are on. Just absolutely killer people. Love being friends with them. But super excited to be announcing the this new website project that they've got going on. So very, very cool. Here's something that's not very cool. Here's some studies that have come out that says that 81% of anything that you buy at the dollar store is most likely filled with cancer-causing chemicals. 81% of the garbage sold at the dollar store, toxic for your health, ladies and gentlemen, again. So the Campaign for Healthier Solutions is a group of over 100 health, community, and environmental justice organizations nationwide that focuses on the health of everyday products, among other health and environmental issues. And this report that they put out pointed to testing that was done on various dollar store products, such as jewelry, toys, school supplies, and other household items. And again, the testing found that over 81%, 133 of the 146 products that they tested contained at least one toxin that was above safe levels. And this is a problem, because people struggling to make ends meet are really confined to shopping at places like the dollar store. And those people struggling to make their ends meet are already disproportionately affected by pollution, lack of adequate medical care. And now, you know, those people might be filling their homes and bodies with chemicals released from dollar store products. And that probably needs to stop. So I really commend the Campaign for Healthier Solutions coming out and doing this study. And I just wanted to point that out. If you're buying stuff because you're saving money at the dollar store, here's the equation, guys. You can either spend it now at the grocery store, or you can spend it later at the hospital. It's totally up to you. I know where I want my money to go. I'd much rather buy organic, healthy things if I can find them, than just buy a bunch of garbage and end up killing myself later because it's all garbage. So anyway, turmeric, curcumin, good stuff. Eat more of it. That's your answer. There's the moral from this article that I'm going to have to skip, because we're just getting ready to go to a 3-minute break, you guys. And I appreciate you guys sticking with us. When we come back, Are You Serious? And Jay Cornell, authors of Transcendence, Transhumanism, and the Singularity. We're going to be talking about all kinds of cool science, techie stuff. Put your nerd hats on. Strap in. It is Friday, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so happy you guys are with us today. See you guys in the chat room in just a few minutes. 3-minute break, guys. Be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup, or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the Truth Frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break, and thank all of you fine folks who are hanging out in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Absolutely love seeing the feedback and getting questions from you guys in there. And if you guys have your nerd hats on, which I hope you do because I told you to get them on earlier, we're getting ready to have a pretty amazing conversation, guys. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a showstopper and a perfect Friday show for everybody. So strap in, get your nerd hat on. Here we go. We're talking today to two very special guests of mine. First one is Are You Serious? And the other one is Jay Cornell. They have written a book called Transcendence, which is the disinformation encyclopedia of transhumanism and the singularity. And first of all, I got to tell you guys out there, the book is outstanding. It's available on Amazon. You can also go to transcendencethebook.com, I believe, and pick up a copy there. The reviews of the book are outstanding, and I have read it cover to cover a couple of times now, to be honest. It's that good. And it's very optimistic about the direction that we're going in terms of technology, which is maybe not typical in terms of some of the people out there talking about transhumanism and how scary it might be. So again, I'm really excited to bring these gentlemen onto the show. They've written a fantastic book, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. First and foremost, let me introduce them individually, just so we kind of get a baseline of who these gentlemen are. Are You Serious? He's a writer. He's an editor. He's also a well-known digital iconoclast. He was the publisher and the co-publisher, of the first popular digital culture magazine called Mondo 2000. Started all the way back in 1989, went through up to 93, and the co-editor of the popular book Mondo 2000, A User's Guide to the New Edge. He's written about technology and culture for Wired, The Village Voice, Salon, Boing Boing, Time, The San Francisco Chronicle, Rolling Stone, and Esquire, among many other notable publications. RU is also he lectures widely, having appeared as part of the Reality Hacking Series at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, and he has also done the TEDx conference in Brussels and at the San Francisco's popular Dorkbot event. I have to tell you, first and foremost, Are You Serious? That I am a nerd, and I imagine both you and Jay are also nerds, and so I think we're all in good company. First, let me just welcome RU. Thank you for coming onto the show today. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks a lot. I do want to say the website is transcendencethebook.net.
Ah, okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Transcendencethebook.net, ladies and gentlemen. And our other very special guest, Jay Cornell, is joining us. He was the co-author, again, of this book. He's the former managing editor of H Plus Magazine, a senior web development developer at Landcamer Partners. A number of his H Plus pieces got noticed by major websites like Slashdot, Wired, and Instapundit, and has led to his appointment to the board of advisors of the Lifeboat Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to defending humanity from existential risks. And I'll tell you what, we are surrounded on all sides by existential risks. So I appreciate, Jay, you being on that committee. Thank you so much also, Mr. Cornell, for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, gentlemen, so before we get into this conversation about the book, I think we ought to get a baseline. Let's talk a little bit just about what do we mean when we're talking about transhumanism, and what do we mean when we're talking about the singularity? And I'm going to toss those questions to Jay to start with. What do those two terms mean? And, let's get a baseline here.
Well, I would say that transhumanism is the idea that human beings can and should use technological means to improve themselves and beyond possibly what we normally think of as being humans. And so it can involve everything from extending your life, curing disease, making us stronger, smarter, possibly making us immortal, possibly turning us into a different form, into the idea of uploading our brains into a computer. The singularity has a number of definitions depending on who you talk to. I think the core one is probably the idea that as computers are becoming more intelligent, that at some point in the perhaps not too distant future, they're going to become more intelligent than human beings. And once that happens, they will do that even faster, and things will take off sort of from the logarithmic curve of technological development that's been going up and up for hundreds of years. It will take off almost vertically. Mm-hmm. And we don't really understand what will happen after that, but it'll be something interesting.
And both of you guys kind of expect this to happen. This is kind of an inevitability at this point, wouldn't you think?
Well, I'm not 100% sure myself. I think that with some other definitions of the singularity, that there's definitely going to be a lot of changes over the next few decades, and at the very most the next, say, 50 or 60 years, that will be extremely hard to predict. That's almost sort of a basic Alvin Toffler future shock kind of position. Mm-hmm. As for the technological singularity, I don't know. As with a lot of things in the book, we try to take a fairly balanced approach, and there are some people who believe that it's not really going to happen, or that it won't happen for perhaps hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. So, I try to keep my options open.
Fair enough. Well, I want to throw that same question over to RU then. Do you feel like it's an inevitability then, RU?
Well, I think that transhumanist changes are starting to happen. We're already augmented by the power of our digital implements. Mm-hmm. We already have search engines of massive power in our pocket that can bring up information in an instant and so forth. Our lives have been changed in a very singular way by the effect of the internet on our economics and our politics and so forth. I mean, it's gone from 20 years ago. Yes, it was 20 years ago. Oh my God. 20 years ago when I was touring on behalf of Mondo 2000, User's Guide to the New Edge, I had to tell people about the internet.
Right.
And they slapped their foreheads and didn't know it existed. And now it's unavoidable. Everything is there. Mm-hmm. Your data is there whether you want it to be there or not. So there's a kind of singularity right there. And I think you know, in terms of morphing the human body, being able to send nanobots in there to deal with problems like cancer and so forth, probably pushing our lifespans, should we survive various potential disasters beyond the apparent biological limits of about 120 years, all that seems likely.
Mm-hmm.
The singularity, the idea that artificial intelligence is going to get way smarter than us and bootstrap itself really fast and become ever more intelligent to the point where they almost replace us as the next stage of evolution. I'm a bit more skeptical about that. If you know that we have two topics in the book, one is artificial intelligence and one is artificial general intelligence. And originally, a lot of the work towards artificial intelligence, was going to be towards artificial general intelligence, which was the idea of mimicking human capacities, and really developing flexible AIs that can do all kinds of things, and think like humans. And that was abandoned, largely in the 1980s and into the 1990s, and it became artificial intelligence where you get computers that can do specific things really well and much better than us, and you end up with, Watson, you know, beating everybody on Jeopardy.
Right.
And the chess matches and, all the stuff that we use to, get information off of Google, or pretty soon they'll be driving us around, and that sort of thing. Now there's a move back into artificial general intelligence, which is the idea of actually being able to mimic human intelligence, their actual brain, silicon brain building projects, trying to implement the human brain and so on. So in answer to the question of whether to expect this, one of our big contributors, Ben Goertzel, when he attended Artificial General Intelligence Convention, all those people expect it, actually. They don't necessarily expect it soon. They don't necessarily expect it to be exactly like what, say, Ray Kurzweil has predicted in his book, The Singularity is Near. But pretty much almost universally, they think we're going to get smarter than human artificial intelligences. Some of them think it'll happen in 10 years, and some of them think it'll happen in 200 years.
Right.
But they all believe that. And if you step away from people in that field and you talk to other scientists and technologists, I would say a vast majority of them are very skeptical. So you have that division right now between the people who are enthusiastically working in the area,
mm-hmm.
and singularitarians and enthusiastic followers, and then other folks who know a lot about science and technology who are very skeptical that we would get a singularity.
Okay. Well, so let's put the singularity issue aside. Obviously, Moore's Law is running its course in all of these major fields, the nanotech, the artificial intelligence, the robotic stuff. Everything is kind of coming to this culmination. So while we're moving towards the singularity, and I'm going to stick with you for just a second, what are some of the developments that you think are probably going to happen that you're the most excited about? You know, what are some of the possible potentials out there that you say, we're on the cusp of these technologies right now, and if we just do this and tweak this a little, boom, we're right here, and this is going to be awesome. You know, what are you most excited about potentially happening as we move towards the singularity?
Well, I don't know about a move towards the singularity, but I'm very interested in what's happening in the area of 3D printing,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that a company has recently printed something akin to artificial liver. It's not actually a full liver, functional liver, but it's the beginnings, that's what I'm looking for here. The cellular aspects of a completed liver. So I think like 3D printing of body parts, 3D manufacturing, moving towards the home, displacing manufacturing in its usual sense. These are things that we're starting to look at very seriously right now. Nanotechnology, actual project taking place in Israel of injecting nanobots into the body of a person to try to cure cancer. This is beginning to get close to the vision of nanotechnology that excited people in the 1980s, when Eric Drexler wrote The Engines of Creation. So I think in the next, by the end of this decade, we'll be, a lot of people will be talking about life extension, and the possibility of, overcoming, a lot of the factors that cause us to age. In terms of robotics, I mean, what we're going to see is just more sophisticated artificial intelligence, rather than artificial general intelligence this decade. But I do think of that in terms of artificial intelligence, in terms of nanotechnology, in terms of replaceable organs and improved enhanced body replacement rather than just, you know, replacing injured parts of our body or I think that all those things will it'll be a real challenge to still be skeptical about some of those things after about 5 years.
Well, Jay, okay, same question to you then. What kind of developments are you aware of right now in some of these fields that that you're most excited about? What can we look forward to in your opinion?
Well, you covered one of them. The nanotechnology in the medical field is just about to have a big experiment this year where they are going to be creating basically DNA capsules that hold cancer medicine. And the DNA is programmed to sort of pop open its capsule once it encounters a cancer cell.
Okay.
Which would allow extremely targeted treatments. And that's the sort of thing that yes, people have been dreaming about that for decades. And if they can do things like that for cancer and Alzheimer's, that's a real game changer. That could really be an incredible boon to human beings. excuse me. There's another one that is not medical. There's a substance called graphene, which is a form of carbon, basically carbon sheets, and they are doing an awful lot of work figuring out how to use these in electronics, in engineering. Including Lockheed Martin is developing a desalinization system based on sheets of graphene that they call perforene, and that could greatly decrease the cost of desalinizing water and cleaning up pollution and so on. And given the fresh water crisis in many places in the world, that could be a big breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well let's flip the script then. Go ahead, are you?
I was going to say graphene is also a super strong material, so it could be used to possibly to give us suits that increase our strength. I mean, right now there's a Japanese company that has a sort of really clunky suit that people can put on that increases strength by about 10 times. But with graphene, you could possibly have a really slick thing that you could wear that wouldn't be all bulky and weird, but that would give you incredible exterior strength. So and Drexler back in the 1980s when he wrote The Engines of Creation was talking about nano-based materials that would be strong enough to build vehicles that could actually go into space with greater ease than the ones that we have now, and I think right. Graphene is a step possibly towards that as well.
Okay, well let's talk about the other side of the coin then, and I want to go back to Jay if I can, and whoever's typing is typing really loud, just throwing that out there. And anyway, Jay, what What about political and ethical concerns of some of these fields as they're developing? What kind of stuff should we be on the lookout for? Or what kind of concerns do you have in terms of ethical or political constraints that should be put on some of these initiatives?
Well, as with any technological innovation, there's two sides to the sword. And it's true, there are a lot of concerns in these areas generally. I mean, the computers have allowed the government to be to increase the ability to surveil everybody. At the same time, it's increased the ability of individuals to surveil back, or a term that's sometimes called surveillance. Personally, I'm a bit concerned about some of the advances in biotechnology that allow people to, you know, manipulate genes with tabletop machines, because I would not like some apocalyptic nut or terrorist to get their hands on one of those things and decide that, you know, what they should do is make some super smallpox or super Ebola that they're going to then release on their enemies or the world in general.
Well, that's a concern of mine too. I get concerned when I think about the pharmaceutical aspects with this whole targeted cancer thing, because I see that as kind of, if I mean, I know we're going to go off in a left field here, but I'm pretty sure that they're spraying stuff at airplanes right now, and it wouldn't take much to pack one of their tanks full of some sort of mind altering substance that's in those little, graphene pods, or, you know, whatever the pharmaceutical aspect of it is, and then just release it onto the masses. So, you know, my concern is always, who are these people that are making these advances? You know, is it good, benevolent people that are altruistic, or is it people who are trying to control the technology for financial gain? Or is it, you know, even worse than that, DARPA type organizations that are so far of, you know, beyond us that that this agenda of control might actually come to fruition through that? So I guess those are some of the questions that I'm wondering about. And if you guys share any of those concerns, so I want to jump over to RU and kind of pitch that same question to you, sir. Are there things that you find going on right now that you are concerned about, either ethically or politically? And what are those things, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any great conspiracies going on with these technologies right now, other than pretty much straightforward. An organization like DARPA is associated with the United States military, and one of the projects of the United States military is to maintain international superiority over everybody else. So, I mean, from that point of view, you want to get the high ground, whether it's in space or whether it's in nano weaponry or and so forth. So, I mean, I think that largely people who are working on these things, including people at DARPA, are doing them because they're exciting to do, and because they might transform the human situation in very interesting and even positive ways. But there's always the danger, as long as there is militarism, as long as there is competition between states, as long as there is competition between competitive economic forces, companies, corporations, so what have you, there's always the possibility that what these people devise will be unfriendly in some ways rather than friendly. There's a big narrative within the singularitarian community about friendly AI. And I mean, there's a question about how friendly an AI is going to be if one of its purposes is to maintain, say, military superiority for one particular nation state.
Right.
So, I mean, these are all serious issues. But I don't think there's like a secret project to spray everybody with drug. Although, you know, I'd be willing to possibly start one if it were the right drugs.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, I suppose. You know, and I don't know either. That's just one of those things that I feel like if there's potential for somebody to, if there's a market there, somebody's going to fill that need. And I always just look at things like that. But while we're on the subject of the friendly AI, I know one of the debates that kind of seems to come up in your book is the concept of a consciousness as a necessity for artificial intelligence. And there seems to be both sides of that argument there. So I want to go back to Jay if I can. What do you think about do you think AI is going to advance to a point where it, you know, either we program it to become conscious or very specifically like our consciousness, or could consciousness itself, you know, just develop on its own once the hardware was so, you know, so made to a point where it could accept consciousness? What do you think about the consciousness, AI, you know, conflagration, I guess would be my question.
Sure. I think it's, well, first of all, I think it's fascinating. It's technologically fascinating. It's also fascinating on a psychological and a philosophical level. It's a real problem. And I think it really helps to know that it's been decades that people have been talking about this, not just in science, but of course in science fiction. And, I think that my conclusion at the moment, at least, is that it's a more difficult problem than many people think. Simply having a computer with as many, you know, logic gates as the human brain has is obviously not going to turn it into a human brain. There's sort of the software aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And, AI researchers for decades have I think it's fair to say they've underestimated the complexity of this problem. So I don't expect it to happen easily or soon. It's very possible that it will happen. But there are a lot of complicating factors and aspects that I think that a lot of people don't think about. You know, for example, human consciousness is a very complex and sometimes fragile thing. I mean, we all know how people can be a little bit crazy or a lot crazy, sometimes because of a slight difference in brain chemicals. You know, they were raised in a bad circumstance or had some trauma in their life, and, you know, their consciousness doesn't work quite as well as their loved ones would like it to work, shall we say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you apply that to the problem of artificial consciousness, I think you get a sense that, you know, something a little different might have a negative effect. For example, let's just talk about the speed of a computer. That's one of the great appeals of a lot of things in transhumanism and the singularity is for people to say, aha, you know, if I can upload my brain to a computer, I'm going to be thinking, you know, a billion times faster than I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say you do that, and then you're trying to talk to a human being. Well, if your brain is going 10 million times faster, that human being is going to be seeming to speak to you at a rate of, you know, 3 or 4 words every year.
Yeah, that's going to be a very boring conversation, to say the least. Gentlemen, I hate to interrupt you here, Jay. We're just getting ready to go to a commercial break, so I want to get us off onto this 3-minute break, and we come back. I want to talk more about this concept of uploading your brain into a computer because, you know, I'm sure both of you guys have seen the new Johnny Depp movie, Transcendence, and boy, that movie really explores this concept in a deep way and definitely brings up a lot of questions. So I definitely want to come back and we'll get right back into this concept of the speed of a computer and the uploading of your brain into a computer. Keep it right here, guys. We've got a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Get into the chat room if you have questions for either of our guests today. We'll see you in just a second. Keep it right here, guys.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the Iodine Now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at HealthUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 sea varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The Kev Baker Show, Monday through Friday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And please, if you guys have questions, go ahead and throw them up in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Really, really happy that you guys are all with us today and very excited still to be continuing with our conversation with our two very special guests today, Are You Serious and Jay Cornell. We're talking about their new book, Transcendence, which is the disinformation encyclopedia of transhumanism and the singularity. You can find it at transcendencethebook.net. You can also get it off of amazon.com, and I highly, highly recommend it. It is a great book for anybody that you know out there that is a nerd or that might be interested in what is going on in the scientific community as we kind of move towards this singularity. And I think before the break, we were talking to Jay, and we were talking about the speed of a computer and some of the constraints that might come from having somebody with crazy computing skill or computer brain technology, you know, enhancements versus a regular human, and how that conversation might take place between them. But what we're really talking about is the ability to upload your brain into some kind of machine, which is obviously, one of the major themes to this concept of the singularity. Jay, we were talking about some of the constraints that come with this concept of uploading your brain into a machine. So do you want to just kind of pick up the conversation right there, sir?
Sure. That's one of the interesting topics in the book, and I will confess it's one of the ones that I'm most skeptical about personally.
Okay.
I think that that's going to be a far harder problem than many people think. For one reason, you have sort of a philosophical issue. I mean, let's say they have the technology to do this. And, you know, here you are and you're hooked up and they're going to upload your brain to the computer. Now, and let's say, okay, it seems to work. The computer says, okay, great. Here I am. You know, it, my consciousness is transferred here. Mm-hmm. I think that from the point of view of your own old-fashioned physical meat body, your consciousness, I think, is still going to be there. There might be a copy of your consciousness in the computer.
Really?
But
okay.
But that's not necessarily going to be you, even though it may think it's you. And so that's sort of a downer from the point of view of a lot of the transhumanist speculation that, oh, well, when your body dies, you'll upload your brain to a computer. Well, you know, if your internal self is still dying with your body, it's maybe nice to know that a copy of your consciousness is in a computer, but it might not really be you in the sense that you hope.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is that you've got, in your mind, at least there's a little bit of a difference between consciousness and spirituality. Am I hearing you correctly when you're saying that?
Well, it just has to do with what we mean by subjective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That, it's, what we think of as ourselves, who we see when we look in the mirror, that essential person, you might be making a copy, and it might even be a perfect copy operating inside a computer.
Uh-huh.
But on a certain level, it might not be you.
I think on a philosophical level, our sense of self is very easily confused, even in our own individuated bodies. I think there's this idea that we really need confirmation from people outside ourselves to even experience our existence. And if you look at people who get isolated, who go into complete isolation, they kind of lose their minds and they lose their sense of self. And I mean, if you think about it, you might think that somebody who was sheltered from all of their input would have a very profound sense of self, but the evidence is that the self, kind of our idea of self, is very socially constructed and very much constructed by the biology of our bodies and the environment that surrounds it.
Hmm.
So when you move that consciousness into a computer, that can get complicated. And then the other complex issue there, if we're looking towards the future, is are we uploading our brains or downloading our brains into a virtual reality? And the consciousness will exist on a computer, or are we putting it into a computer and then putting it into something that is embodied, a robot, possibly programmed, advanced enough to experience physicality in much the same ways that we experience it ourselves, only maybe a little bit better and a little bit less painful. So I mean, there. If it can be done, there are so many variations on the way that it might be done, and then how that might impact on us. And if we end up in a virtual reality, is it a virtual reality that is so rich that it makes us feel as though we're in an actual world, an actual biological world like the one we experience inside of a universe like the one we actually experience?
Uh-huh.
And if that can be done, then it raises the question of whether we're in that already ourselves, whether there's a programmer at the base of the reality that we find ourselves in that has simulated this situation. At some point, if we do enter, if there is a simulated world that is that rich, we may forget to miss the one that we're in and fully adopt to the one that we're reborn into. But I mean, all that's very far out and speculative, and maybe something we might be able to take seriously in this century, but it's difficult to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's actually something that a number of you know, regular scientists and people who should be taken seriously actually believe to be possible or even likely that we are, in a sense, living in the Matrix and don't realize it yet.
Oh, man. I mean, that is a deep thought for a Friday, people. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I want to give you guys my kind of interpretation of consciousness for just real quickly. I'm of the opinion that, you know, your brain is basically a radio and that everyone's consciousness exists as a frequency. Everybody has a unique frequency, and that just happens that you've got the hardware, that can capture that unique frequency and allow you to kind of, you know, flow through this physical manifestation of consciousness, which is what I kind of consider the human body to be. So I guess one of my main fears with moving into the future, and again, this could be completely off base, but it does kind of correlate to what we're talking about right now. My fear is that some mad scientist out there might be able to, make a machine or make a computer that was predetermined to match my frequency, so that when my physical body died and my squiggle was released back out into the ether, that it would be then tuned into this machine, and maybe he's already uploaded all my memories and things like that. There might be a transition there that you wouldn't even recognize, that you wouldn't even notice. You would just flow from one body into this other body. And if what you guys are saying, you know, the potentiality of it being a robot form with, you know, all of the same experiential data that we've got now with the, you know, the five senses and things like that, their touch is good. How would you even know? How would you even know that that happened if it did happen? And what are the likelihood of that happening in your opinion? We'll throw it to RU for a second. What do you think about that, RU?
Well, I think it's a very interesting way of thinking about things, because how do we know now to what extent we have any free will whatsoever, and to what extent our thoughts are pre-programmed and where they're pre-programmed from. I mean, we can observe that our thoughts are pre-programmed by where the language that we use and what we were born into, and then the media, which we live in full media saturation.
Right.
So we get all these spot announcements about what we should be concerned about and what we should think and so forth. So, I mean, we're already kind of in that situation. We're not sure to what degree we have a unique individual thought or a unique individual free will. You bring that into the territory of the singularity. You know, let's say the singularity is brought to you by Apple. And we know that they're very fussy about having deals with the thought forms that you'd be able to get
right
as you know, a customer of Apple. So, you know, your exo life might be constrained by a company's interest. It might be constrained by the interests of the National Security Agency, or whatever the equivalent of that is, or the government of China, or, you know. So, I mean, all that stuff, I don't know about the radio frequency thing in terms of consciousness, although that certainly appeals to some of my psychedelic experiences. And,
right.
And, you know, I do think that, you know, consciousness doesn't stop with our brain and our nervous system. There's some kind of interplay going on between our brains and nervous systems and everything else. And there's certainly a lot of stuff that is not only invisible, but probably hasn't been figured out or confirmed by hard science yet. So, you know, it's all rather up in the air. But I think what you said there is an interesting way of thinking about things, and an interesting way to look at self-exploration to see if we do have individual thoughts and individual consciousness, and how do we liberate ourselves from the limits that are either placed on us by biology or by virtuality.
Mm-hmm.
Both those things probably contain constraints on free will and free thought.
Jay, do you have any comments on that issue or question?
Well, I'll take a slightly different angle on it. What that makes me think about is how our connection with the internet and everything involving our digital life can be and often is sort of manipulated in subtle ways by other people. For example, if you do some Google searches on a particular subject, then you might suddenly find that the next time you go to another website, there are ads being presented to you about the things that you just Googled about, which can be sort of odd and disconcerting if you, you know, happen to have some, as happened to me, an abstract question about something involving a sexually transmitted disease, and then for the next few weeks you get ads for STD testing.
That's right. Well, Google.
Wait a minute. This isn't for me.
Google's got their own mantra is to get as close to the creepy line as possible without trying to go over it. And a lot of people don't know that if you've got a dog in your house and it's barking, that Google will hear that through your computer and then show you advertisements for dog food. I mean, that's.
I hadn't heard that. I had heard that that Samsung has just, warned people that their smart televisions are in effect listening in.
Yes.
And, this information might be sent to third parties.
Yes. That's frightening. I mean, they've got like a 36-page disclosure you've got to sign, you know, as your, that's the biggest lie that I think is told on the internet. The lie of I have read and understand the user agreement. Nobody ever reads that thing, but Indeed. Yeah, the Samsung one is crazy. And there was an article, today that came out saying that if you try and manipulate the, you know, if you go in and mess around with the software and anything like that, it's a felony. Like, you can't even mess around with your television if you think that it might be bothering you, and maybe you're like me and knows how to use Linux and can get in there and kind of mess around with stuff. Felony right now, according to the government. So they don't want you to do that.
I mean, it's been that way with you know, iPhone and so forth. You're not,
right?
You're supposedly not allowed to break it and use it to, you know, for your own purposes. I mean, I think that's been pushed back a little bit specifically with the iPhone.
But, yeah, yes, it has. Yeah, you're allowed to jailbreak it, but then Apple doesn't, you know, they're not responsible for what happens.
Right. Well, okay, I want to talk a little bit then, since we're talking about, you know, consciousness and the mind and how, you know, there's potential that we could upload it into a computer. Obviously, this conversation will kind of flow into this idea of distributed consciousness. And I wanted to ask both of you guys, do you feel like the internet itself is kind of an early expression of this distributed consciousness and showing kind of this underlying theme of everybody wants to go in that direction?
To a certain extent, yes, and this connects with what we were just talking about. I mean, one of the things that we've seen in the last, you know, 10 years on the internet are memes that flow around.
You know,
somebody creates a little graphic with a little text on it to, you know, mock a politician or something.
Brian Williams. The Brian Williams memes are absolutely delightful. I gotta just stop for a second. The Brian Williams memes, if you haven't seen him yet, delightful.
I've seen some. Yes. Delightful. Where he's crossing the Delaware with Washington.
Yes. Or in the truck with OJ. That was my favorite, I think.
But, and plus we have what, you know, what are sometimes called, you know, Twitter storms or tweet storms where, you know, somebody says something stupid and then there is suddenly this mob of Twitter people all demanding that they resign or whatever. And so, you know, you can see these, social ideas and moods flow back and forth at an accelerated rate because of computers. And then with something like Facebook, which is a lot of fun and also kind of creepy in the ways that you were talking about with Google, is that, you know, Facebook doesn't just show you everything that your friends are posting. It's making decisions about what to show to who.
That's right.
And they, I believe, you know, can, I don't know if they are, but they can probably manipulate people this way.
Oh, they totally are. They were part of that Minerva project with DARPA just last year, and they did 6 months where they literally changed the news feeds that were going on to people's pages, and they did it in both directions, trying to make people happy and trying to make people really disgruntled, and they followed those results. Yeah, that's the Minerva project. We know they're doing that.
Exactly.
Actually, I think the people that I know on Facebook probably have the opposite reaction, towards the happy, sad push that they intended.
Right, but I mean, this has vast potential for evil. If Facebook decides that, you know, they would rather have candidate A as president instead of candidate B, then they can simply tweak the news feeds and, gee, everybody has good articles about candidate A and everybody gets all the dirt on candidate B and none of the vice versa. And if people are getting their news from Facebook, they'll think, oh gosh, you know, there's no contest here.
Right. Well, it's just a good thing that that could never happen in our country though, right? They would never, they would never weaponize things like the IRS or anything like that for political motivation.
Right.
Obviously, freest country in the world. So, all right. So here's another question for you guys then. In respect to Moore's Law, and obviously I love the fact that they named that after me. They didn't have to, but they did. And I appreciate that. And, talking about your book, obviously your book just came out. It's very recent. It's only been out for a little while. But I'm wondering, given the Moore's Law effect on all of these different technologies, how far off do you guys think a volume number two is? How far off do you think you're going to have to wait to come back and address some of these things as the, you know, the improvements happen?
I mean, I think realistically, if you look at our Facebook page, we're dealing with news items on an almost daily basis that are relevant to almost any of the 90 topics in the book. So, mm-hmm. and we had to add an addendum a few months before the book was published just to get in a whole bunch of things that had taken place between the time we worked on the book and the time it could get published. So, I mean, it would be great to be able to report on these sort of things on a daily basis. I think we're at the point where there's hard news, not necessarily products or operations that are available to the consumer yet, but there's hard news in these areas every day. Some of it's stunning. So, but yes, a second book edition would also be great fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would look forward to reading one. I gotta say, I mean, I love this book. This is a classic nerd boy book as far as I'm concerned. I'm not trying to pigeonhole it and say that girls wouldn't like it, but for me, I only get a few minutes to read here and there, so being able to pick something up, read a little section, you know, it's broken down in a way that it's really fungible for me to read about. And, I just can't speak highly enough of it. So again, ladies and gentlemen, TranscendenceTheBook.net is where you can go get it. You can also get it at Amazon. What's the name, what's your Facebook page so people can join you there, since obviously we're behind the curve, because the book's already a couple months old. Where do we need to go to find out all this new news, guys?
Yes, it's
Transcendence. Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, it's basically the title of the book, although because there's a limit on the length of Facebook groups, it comes out to be Transcendence, the Disinformation Encyclopedia of Transhumanism and the Sin, which is not, we decided that was perfectly okay.
Right.
But I think that if anybody on Facebook searches for the group Transcendence, they'll find it. They can ask to join and we'll let them in and they can read the wall that gets updated pretty much every day.
Very cool. All
I
right.
I also have a Twitter feed that is Steal This Singularity at Steal This Singul.
Steal This Singularity.
S-I-N-G-U-L is the at sing. Yeah. At
okay.
Yeah, the Twitter handle gets cut off too.
Right. Well, the beauty, miracle of modern technology, saves us all this time, doesn't it? Okay, well, gentlemen, we're kind of nearing the end of the broadcast today. I want to thank you guys both for coming on the show. This has been a very enlightening conversation. What's going on with you guys now currently individually? Like, are you guys have any speaking engagements or anything like that? Big things coming up where people can find out more about you? Start with RU. Anything like that going on with you, sir?
No singing engagements. Shows you what I wish I was doing.
Right.
No speaking engagements at the moment, but I tweet a lot, so please do join me at Steal This, S-I-N-G-U-L, and there's always writing. I recently had a piece on Forbes, believe it or not. And there's always pieces, you know, there's always some writing going on. There's always some interviews going on with both Jay and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if people friend me on Facebook under my real name, it's Ken Are You Serious Goffman at Facebook, and you can keep up with whatever I might be doing next. I may finish the book about the Mondo 2000 next. So,
okay.
That's going to be my next project, probably.
Very cool. How about you, Jay?
No, nothing in particular. I'm just, I try to keep transcendencethebook.net updated about what's happening with us and participate in the Facebook group. And we're just hoping that we can make this book enough of a success that it will sell well and we can do a second edition.
I'd love to help you guys do that. So let's take the last couple of minutes and we'll start with you, Jay. What's the main message that you hope people take away from this book once they read it?
Well, there's a lot of positive things that are just about to happen on the horizon. There are dangers, of course, but there's a lot of positive aspects that I don't think people know about, and I don't think they know how they interact. And so we've tried to look at a whole bunch of things, somewhat superficially, but broadly and in some depth every now and then, and trying to see how it all fits together. I think it's very interesting. I think anybody who's interested in the future in science fiction would find this book interesting.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Are you anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean the opportunity, the possibility of resolving a lot of the human problems, such as scarcity, such as dirty energy, such as illness, to resolve them or at least partly resolve them seems to be on the horizon. And how this stuff gets used may or may not be up to each and every one of us, but people should remain engaged and try to look at some of the positive aspects of what might be done with some of this stuff if we do remain engaged rather than just being overwhelmed and frightened by it. Although at the same time, look at the dystopian aspects of it, but get engaged.
I agree. A lot of people don't seem to realize that we're actually living through history right now and that all of us have an opportunity to play a part in that. And I really appreciate you guys coming on the show today and talking about some of these topics with us. I really appreciate you guys putting this book out. And I, for one, will be joining the Facebook page, so I recommend all the listeners do the same. Again, the website, transcendencethebook.net, is where you can go get a copy for anybody in your family that's a nerd like me or into science fiction or into future speculation about what's going on. I'm reading your book as a future investor right now because I'm trying to look at what all of the big new industries are going to be. And I'm really happy, that you mentioned 3D printing earlier in the show, because that is, I believe, one of the most substantial changes that we're going to see on the planet here coming up. We had an article last week of a person who replaced an $18,000 prosthetic hand with one that cost him like $50 to make. And the $50 one was better because it could move the thumb and the pinky. And you would think at 2015, prosthetic hands that cost $18,000 would have capabilities like that. But apparently they didn't. And a young man saw the need, fixed the problem, using technology to solve problems. And that's, I think, the optimist aspect. And I really appreciate both you gentlemen coming on the show to share your optimism with us about the future. I will let you guys both go, but you guys both take care, and we look forward to the next edition of the book. Jay and RU, you guys take care. Have a wonderful day, okay?
Thanks a lot, JD.
Absolutely. You guys take care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is just about it for the show today. Want to remind you guys, next week is going to be an amazing, amazing lineup. I mean, we have got some of the best in the business on the show. Alana Freeland will be here Monday. We'll be talking about geoengineering and full spectrum dominance, the plan to control the weather by the military. And she's got a lot of interesting information about that. Who else? Rick Rozoff's going to be on next week. Deborah Tavares is going to be on next week. I mean, the amount of information that we're going to throw in your face next week, guys, strap in. I'm telling you what, it's going to be a high water mark for the Red Pill Reports. Anyway, it is Friday. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I hope you guys all, like me, are planning on having a good weekend. If you're planning on doing something else, well, keep those plans to yourself, because I think we all choose our attitudes every single day. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. I look forward to talking to you all again on Monday. Take care and good luck out there, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
Teacher. Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.